With Federal Labor under pressure over the future of the Adani mine and coal mining jobs, Bill Shorten is trying to sharpen his jobs pitch during a campaign swing through North Queensland. Labor is announcing that foreign workers in Australia will be in line for an $11,000 pay rise should it win the federal election. The opposition is promising to lift the minimum wage for overseas workers to try and stop cheap imported labour being used to keep Australians out of jobs. And with pay packets the centrepiece of Labor's campaign this week, Bill Shorten is also vowing to hire the best lawyers in the country to try and fast-track a wage rise for 2.2 million low-paid workers. Brendan O'Connor is the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. He joins us from Townsville. Brendan O'Connor, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
It's already illegal, isn't it, to pay a foreign worker less than an Australian employee who's doing the same job? So
it's illegal, but it's not enforced, and that's why we need the Fair Work Ombudsman to have more powers to crack down on what is unlawful behaviour across many sectors of the economy. But it's also about lifting the threshold so that workers between 53,900 and 65,000 that work locally are not competing against skilled labour that's brought from overseas.
Okay. But so you lift the threshold. This is the temporary skilled migration income threshold from just under $54,000 a year to $65,000 a year. That's a 21% jump in one fell swoop, $11,000 a year pay rise. A lot of Australians would like a wage rise like that,
well,
wouldn't they?
No, I think you've totally mischaracterised that. It's not about lifting the wages, it's lifting the threshold, therefore excluding the ability to bring in skilled workers between 53,900 and 65,000. That's protecting local workers on median average wages so that they don't feel that they're going to miss out. But further to that, Fran, we believe that there really shouldn't be, there's no excuse for a skill shortage to last one day longer than it takes for us to train an Australian to do that job.
Okay, there are currently 1.6 million overseas workers on these skilled shortage visas. They used to be called 457s, they're now called skilled shortage visas. Not all, obviously, on the minimum wage. But how would employers afford such a steep pay rise?
Well, a component of those visas are skilled visas, as you say, the 457 or the now, there's other the descriptions for the skilled visas. And what we need to make sure is that we put in place sufficient policies that will compel local employers to prove they've looked locally first, because we are aware that there are people either underemployed or unemployed in the labour market that have the skills but are not getting the opportunity of work.
But isn't there already labour market testing arrangements under the current laws?
The labour market testing, we introduced labour market testing as our last piece of legislation when last in government, it had to be negotiated through the crossbench. Scott Morrison was my shadow minister at the time, utterly opposed labour market testing, and it has not been strengthened or enforced under this government.
No, but in fact you're re-announcing something that already exists, is that right?
No, we're not. The problem at the moment is you don't have to sufficiently demonstrate that you've looked local. The requirements to look local is tick and flick on a form. We need much greater level of demonstration that you have sought local labour. That's just, I think, a reasonable expectation. And we want to empower regulators to ensure that there are not breaches. What happens is this government turns a blind eye and allows people to fill in forms even when they haven't demonstrated in good faith that they've looked locally. And that's a fair thing. Look local before you seek to look overseas.
So you're also going to introduce something called the Australian Jobs Test if you win government. So that means that labour agreements, presumably with these skilled visa shortages, can't be entered into unless they support or create jobs for Australian workers. What do you mean by that?
And that's not unusual. What the visa arrangements has had in the past is a requirement that you make commitments to training. So we expect employers, of course, to be looking to cultivate and ensure that their workforce acquires skills, and prospective workers too. That's a reasonable thing. It's expected of every other employer in every other country, and we want that to happen. That's not unusual. But also we want to make sure if we bring people in because we believe there's a shortage, that they have the same standards of qualifications as that applies here, particularly for tradespeople. So this is about making sure that we crack down on rorts. We do provide opportunities for locals to get work. We've got 1.7 million workers either unemployed or underemployed in Australia, and they are telling us that in many cases they have the skills, they're not given the opportunities.
And in a lot of cases they don't. We hear often from the IT industry, for instance, that says this is just going to make it impossible for them to attract the high-skilled workforce they need that they can't get here. Do you accept that?
Look, I think it's absolutely reasonable that if an employer can demonstrate they can't find local workers with sufficient skills, that they're given the opportunity to get that labour from overseas. But they should demonstrate they've looked locally first. Secondly, this is really much connected to Labor's investment in higher education and TAFE. What we need is a much greater level of investment in skills in this country so that, of course, we may need a complement of overseas skilled workers, but we want to make sure that we're investing in areas of emerging demand in the labour market. So whether it's vocational skills or tertiary skills, we have those at our disposal in our labour market. Let's make our workforce the smartest workforce in the country.
Sure, but you're not going to have overnight expertise. You're not going to have overnight expertise. And you are putting a lot more hurdles in the way of these employers.
And that's why we've said that Labor believes there's no excuse for a skill shortage to last one day longer than it takes us to train an Australian or for them to acquire particular skills. Equally, we accept if there's a genuine shortage, we need to attend to that, and we want to have the skills authority that we would establish to identify genuine skill shortages, not have people on the shortage list when we have an army of underemployed Australians who have those skills, but they're not being connected to the labour market.
It's 18 minutes to 8. Our guest is the Shadow Workplace Relations Minister, Brendan O'Connor. You're also talking about wages. Labour's talking a big game on wages. If foreign workers are paid more, how will that boost wages for local workers? Is there a flow through there?
Well, they won't be paid more. I'm sorry to keep not accepting that proposition. That is just lifting the threshold. No foreign worker will ever be paid more than the local worker under law. It's about
if they're paid more than they're currently paid.
No. We're talking about lifting the threshold so that people below that threshold cannot come in. That's not about lifting wages for foreign workers. Whatever sub-editor put that in the newspaper that didn't read the policy, quite frankly. But as for wages, Fran, we believe that Australians deserve a pay rise. Everything's going up except for wages. So what we've said is, firstly, we'll have a living wage, we'll inquire into living wage, and we'll amend the laws in order to elevate cost of living as a factor when deciding the minimum wage. But yesterday, Bill Shorten outlined that we will, if elected, as the Commonwealth of Australia, submit an argument that we've been putting now consistently for 4 or 5 years to ensure that 2.2 million Australian workers on awards will actually have real wage increases at a time we've had the lowest wage growth on record.
Okay, so what kind of wage increase? Because Bill Shorten has promised yesterday a full-throated, full-bloodied, that's a quote, submission to the Fair Work Commission to support what he calls a real increase for these 2.2 million low-paid workers. How much will you be pushing for, and how soon could that hit payback?
The good thing is, as I say, this has been a consistent position we've taken. We're the only opposition that's been making submissions to the Fair Work Commission. And what we want to do is, we've announced it yesterday, so this is right front and centre during an election campaign, so the people of Australia understand that this is an issue of great importance to Labor, and it should be for the nation. And what we're saying is, if elected, the weight of the Commonwealth making a submission is certainly much greater than that of an opposition, and we would ask the Commission to take that into account.
And what would be acceptable to you? The national minimum wage is $18.93 an hour.
Well,
how much do you think?
That's on the minimum wage, but in terms of the 2.2 million Australians on awards, we have said we want to see a real but responsible increase. We'll allow the Commission to make the decision. The Commission should hear it from, of course, business, employers, unions and others. But I believe the Commonwealth, for the first time in 6 years, intervening and making a submission will have a compelling case. And that's against the contrast of the current government over the last 6 years, which have never submitted a real increase for working people in this country.
Okay, on Adani, you are with Bill Shorten in Townsville. The Adani mine is a key issue in that electorate. If Labor is backing the mine, why won't Bill Shorten rule out a review of the environmental approvals if you win government?
Well, firstly, Labor will be governed by the law. That's what Bill has made very clear. We'll be governed by the law.
Well, the law would allow you to review the approval, wouldn't it?
Well, we've said we'll be governed by the requirements now. If there are hurdles in the way, Every application needs to jump those hurdles. There are still existing requirements unfulfilled by that project.
State government.
And we want...
State government, not federal government. Will you review the federal government approvals?
It doesn't matter what jurisdiction at the moment. It is not resolved. What we've said is we will be governed by the law, and that is our position.
Okay. Can I just ask you finally on the so-called Watergate scandal, much talk about Barnaby Joyce's defence of the water buybacks he approved when he was water minister. He says Labor bought water from the same company when it was in government. What's your reason?
Look, as Tony Burke outlined yesterday, we moved to a tendering process. This government ripped that up. I mean, I did listen to Barnaby Joyce's comments on RN yesterday, and frankly, you would laugh if it wasn't so serious. I think everyone except for Barnaby Joyce knows that his career peaked with the pistol and boo deportation. I mean, the fact is this government seems to be unable to escape cronyism chaos in the Cayman Islands, and there are questions for the government to answer here, and they've yet to answer them. We put in, Tony Burke has written to the department and has sought all documents relating to this matter to be provided to us by 5 p.m. today, and after which we can obviously have further comments to make on this matter.
Brendan O'Connor, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Brendan O'Connor is the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 14 minutes to 8.